Hey guys, so this is the second time I'm recording like the intro and beginning of this episode because I was talking for 5 minutes and then I realized that I didn't even know what I was talking about and I was kind of rambling. And I want this to be like a good episode that gets information out there about what fibromyalgia is and just like what I've been experiencing and dealing with, because it really does help other people to know about things like this, and it helps other people when someone they know is diagnosed with something like this. And I want to say up front that despite getting this diagnosis and going through what I've been going through recently in terms of really physically struggling, which I'll get to in a little bit, this is not something that I'm going to let change my personality, and I'm very determined to not let it change my personality or like the course of my life, because I know some people that are chronically ill, like personally, and the way that they conduct their lives. Of course, I understand, like, I'm not judging them, okay? I'm not judging them and saying, oh my gosh, like, I'm better than them or anything like that. But the way that they choose to live their lives in terms of letting their diagnosis really consume them and become their primary sense of identity and just like their core self, I don't ever want to be like that, because as a person, I'm defined by it more than the ailment that I have. So that's not something that I'm going to focus on just when I think about who I am as a person. So you're not going to hear me talking about in a lot of other episodes, like going on for a long time about how hard it is and how much I struggle and like all this stuff, because this is like my burden, but every single person listening to this has their own burden. Like, we all have things that we deal with, and this is just the thing that I deal with. You know what I mean? Everyone has trauma, everyone has problems, and no one, like, it takes work to listen to someone else's issues and like process their pain and all the stuff they're going through. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk about what you're struggling with, because that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that I'm not going to sit here on my podcast that's about lucid dreaming and complain to you guys about all the things I'm dealing with. Like, that is so, it's not good. It's not good, especially since I want this place to be like positive and uplifting and talking about like bettering yourself and all that stuff. That being said, I am taking time in this episode to talk about this because this is really relevant to my life, and I'm the source of the podcast. And also, things in my life will affect the content of my dreams. And this already has been doing that for several weeks now. So, obviously, there's a direct correlation, because when you have a podcast like this, where the center of the whole thing is literally my dreams and like me, then it kind of matters what I'm dealing with in the moment. So, I just wanted to talk about it and also to spread awareness about fibromyalgia itself. So I have a little paper right here, and it was actually given to me by my doctor after my diagnosis. And it's not that helpful, honestly. Like, everything in here you could find on Google. And essentially, unfortunately, we're keeping with the theme of this podcast and lucid dreaming and everything, because there is not much known about fibromyalgia and there's not much research on fibromyalgia. And in fact, there are lots of disorders that are probably all diagnosed as fibromyalgia, and it's probably a misdiagnosis for many people, because it's just something that doctors will diagnose people with when the people have pain and the doctors don't know what to do about it. So they'll just be like, oh, you have fibromyalgia, and just slap on the diagnosis, and then they'll send them home. And then people suffer, to be honest, because fibromyalgia is a pain disorder and a fatigue disorder. So, lots of stuff going on. It's very cute. But I believe that what I have, based on my life experience, is like the true fibromyalgia. I don't have any symptoms that are outside of the realm of what fibromyalgia is defined to be. I don't have any extra symptoms that are weird, or like, I don't have symptoms that don't match up. Like, I'm a pretty clear case. The only thing that was not clear that I think made it so hard for me to get diagnosed is that fibromyalgia as a pain disorder is widespread pain. So that is pain across your whole body, like everywhere. And I am not someone that really experiences that often. I have pain in my legs and I have pain in my hips. And sometimes I have pain just like in my abdomen. And I don't have pain in my upper body for the most part. Like I really don't. And of course now looking back, I'm like, well, I kind of do, but like, it's not so much that I'm obsessed about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, it's not that big a deal because I'm a really positive person. So I don't fixate on things that are wrong and just be like, oh my gosh, like this happens all the time. It's so horrible, because I don't want to live my life like depressed. You know what I mean? So like, I just deal with things and like, it's really not that big a deal. Like other people go through way harder stuff than this. So like, I don't fixate on it. But I did want to read really quickly, like just what fibromyalgia is as a whole. And then I'll just go over like some of the smaller things, because I really want people to understand, you know what I mean? Like, this is something that a lot of people, like as a whole, are diagnosed with, but also it's something that more people have than are diagnosed with it. It's very much underdiagnosed. And part of that is because most of the people who are diagnosed with it, like 90% are women. And so men and children who have fibromyalgia are basically just not diagnosed. Like when I look back, I've had leg pain from fibromyalgia ever since I could walk. So I was like one and I already had this. I've always had pain. And that's something that they were like, it's growing pains. And the thing is that now in these new studies that they're doing, they're finding a correlation with, quote, growing pains and later being diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So there are all these things that are like, maybe it's not growing pains. Maybe that's fibromyalgia pain. And like, of course, maybe growing pains as a whole are not all fibromyalgia pain, but like, because like my dad had growing pains, he doesn't have fibro, but like, you know, there are more things to look at. Okay, so anyway, I'm just gonna read this little thing. So fibromyalgia is one of a group of chronic pain disorders that affect connective tissues, including the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. It is a chronic condition that causes widespread muscle pain and extreme tenderness in many areas of the body. Many patients also experience fatigue, sleep disturbances, headache, and mood disturbances such as depression and anxiety. Despite ongoing research, the cause, diagnosis, and optimal treatment of fibromyalgia are not clear. In the United States, fibromyalgia affects about 2% of people by age 20, which increases to approximately 8% of people by age 70. It is the most common cause of generalized musculoskeletal pain in women between 20 and 55 years. It is more common in women than men. So basically, that little thing that I just read, which was two paragraphs, that's literally all of the information that's like out there about fibro at all. That's it. And so I was given this diagnosis and my doctor gave me this thing and, you know, this packet that I just read off of. And he's like, yeah, you definitely have fibromyalgia. That makes a lot of sense. And I was like, so I was right then, because I was the one that sent him the email. And I was like, hey, like, I've been looking into this thing called fibromyalgia. And that really looks like what it is, because they sent me to a spine doctor. And she was like, have you considered that this is a nervous system problem? Because your spine is fine. And there's no like physical reason that I can see that you should have so much pain. And she's like, you need to ask your doctor about fibromyalgia. And so I emailed him and I was like, hey, what about fibro? And he's like, you know, fill out this form. And that's basically just like, do you have chronic pain? And I'm like, yes. And then he's like, okay, now come in and see me and I'll go over the form. So I went in and he went over the form and he's like, yeah, like this is totally what you have. And so then he just gave me this packet and he was like, you know, do you want to go on like, He basically was just like, you know, do you want to go on these really intense painkillers that'll like the potential side effects are that you'll like be in a fog for the rest of your life? And I was like, no, what? Like, what? No, of course not. Like, I'm a student. I don't want to go on like intense drugs forever. Like, no, I'm 20 years old. I'm not doing that. And so then he was like, okay, let me know if you change your mind. Like, and then I just was like sent home. And this was all the week before I was going on this huge trip. So this is something that I didn't tell you guys about because it was just like for me, and I was going to tell you after I got home. So I was going to go to Europe, and this was going to be my first time in Europe. And it actually was my first time in Europe because I went and I was in Italy for 2 weeks. And, you know, that sounds super cool, but unfortunately for me, I was sick the whole time. And when I say to you I was sick the whole time, I mean I was not eating. My whole body was absolutely killing me. Like, I don't think I can describe to you the pain, because unless you've experienced something like that, I don't think that it's something that you can convey to other people. So, like, you know, when you have, I'm trying to think of like, you know, when you hold something really, really cold and like that pain in your bones from like how cold it is, and it just like kind of like shoots into your bone of like this cold ache, like that. I felt that over my whole body, no matter what I did. And so I was there, and after a week and a half, I was like, I'm not recovering from the quote jet lag. I am losing weight. I am sitting in the apartment just totally sick. Like, I have to go home. Like, I am in so much pain. This is not going to work for me. Like, if I don't go home right now, I don't know if I'll be able to physically make the trip. I'm going to be stuck here in like a hospital. Like, that's how bad it was. And my, I like, I don't know who's going to listen to this episode. So I have to be like, the tea here is that I have to be careful with my words. The organization that I went with was really amazing. And like, the people that worked there were so good and they helped me so much. Like, I was like, hey, I want to go home. And they were like, we've got you. Like, we will immediately try to set it up. And they were trying to help me as much as possible to stay. Like, they were, I could not tell you how good they were. So, like, they were awesome. But in terms of the other people that I was around, like the other people on the trip, I really was not supported, and I really was just by myself, completely sick, unable to walk down the stairs to leave the apartment. Like, I have never been that sick in my life, and I pray that I never will be again. But all in all, this trip was a complete shock to me because obviously I've had fibro my whole life. And like I probably say in the lucid dreaming and virtual reality episode that I recorded the week after my diagnosis, right before I left on the trip, I probably say in there, you know, hey, I'm, you know, I have fibro, but like that's not going to change my life. You know, it's something I've had forever. And it doesn't really affect me all that much. And after this whole trip, like I've really realized that that's true. But the reason that that's true is because I actively put in a lot of work without realizing it to take care of myself and minimize the levels of pain that I'm in. So for me, I go for a little walk every day and I walk my dog, and it's a very short walk, like probably like a quarter mile or something. But like, I walk her and we're outside for like 20 minutes. And, you know, we're just like out in the sun or out in the cold, whatever the heck the weather is. And then I'll come back inside and I warm back up and I make sure that I eat breakfast and I drink water. And like, I have a very specific routine that I follow. And I really do an amazing job of taking care of myself. And this trip made me realize that I have to do that because otherwise I suffer. And so I realized that essentially I don't have the luxury that other people have where they can just let themselves go and maybe not eat breakfast or not exercise. Like, I don't have that luxury. So for me, I have to always live a healthy lifestyle and I have to always make sure that I'm not depressed and that, you know, there are certain things that I must do because otherwise my health will suffer and I will go downhill within apparently 2 weeks. So I can have a couple days maybe where I don't do things the right way and I kind of, you know, let things slip a little bit. But then after that, I have to get it together because otherwise my body starts to completely shut down. And that was really terrifying for me, especially because I'm so young. And so I've realized that I have a disorder that unfortunately will possibly alter the course of my life, not in terms of like what I want to do or anything like that, but more so just that I can't cope with high stress because it goes straight from my mind to my body. And unfortunately, I experience physical symptoms manifested directly from stress to a much higher degree than a typical person would. And it's been a really surreal experience for me. It really has, guys. Like, it's been wild. I know two people who also have fibromyalgia. It's this family friend, this woman that I love, and her daughter, who was my best friend all through elementary school. So I know them both very well. And I love their family and everything. But like, I don't know about the daughter, but the mom, her fibromyalgia is like, it's really bad. And she has some other issues that like compound it. So she has like chronic fatigue. And if you don't know what that is, it's exactly what it sounds like. She's just chronically exhausted and there's nothing that she can do about it. No matter how much she sleeps, she's always just exhausted. And I don't have that, thank God. Like, just, you know, the way that it affects her life, I can't ever let it affect me like that because like that is horrible. And I know that I have to put in work to not let it get to that point, you know? So thankfully fibromyalgia is not a degenerative disease. It will not get better as I get, or it won't get worse as I get older. It won't suddenly become worse than it was. It's just something that's always the same. And, you know, as I like talked about earlier, they don't know what causes it. They don't know why it exists in some people and why it doesn't in others, but it definitely runs in families. My grandma has fibromyalgia and she has her whole life, and it didn't really affect her until I think it was her mid-20s. That was when it really started to affect her. And she noticed that like something was different. But like me, she just assumed that everyone was dealing with stuff like that and that she wasn't special. Like, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to complain to people and be like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. Like literally, I just assumed that everyone else had like weird days and stuff like that. So, and everything that I didn't think was connected to that, I already said, I thought was like related to my menstrual issues, which looking into fibro, it's often comorbid with autoimmune disorders, fatigue disorders, and menstrual disorders. So now I have to freaking deal with all that and go to the doctors for that again. But like, I'm only going one more time. And then if they don't find anything, then I'm just going to be like, whatever. And I don't care anymore. You know what I mean? Because like at a certain point, I just have to be like, no, like my nervous system is just like shot for no reason, just inherently. And so like, I'm going to have problems from that. And I will treat them with a healthy lifestyle and everything. But like, if I don't, other than that, there's nothing else they can do. So there is a point where you have to just accept that like, not everything's going to be perfect all the time, and that's okay. Like, you just have to get there mentally. So I'm trying to get there mentally with a few things, but for the most part, I'm just trying to process this and what it means and doesn't mean for my life, and just, oops, I dropped my bracelet, and just like how I have to live in the future, which is not different from how I anticipated, except that this does change my plans for like college and moving by myself and like living alone. Like, I'm really reconsidering things like that, because I've learned that a certain level of stress will just destroy me and just completely take me out. So I have to deal with that now, which in and of itself is stressful, and that's not great. But like, you know, my plans for college have already been impacted because this semester I had to miss my classes, and that is really bad and that sucks, but there's nothing I can do about it. So it's better to just accept it and not like deal with any emotional fallout. Especially when I'm already trying to process the diagnosis, like I don't need to put other things on top of that. So, but yeah, like overall, it just really sucks. You know what I mean? But I do think that this might have impacted, I mean, of course it has impacted who I am, just like having this throughout childhood and stuff like that. And like dealing with things like this forever. Like, I think that this might be part of why I just don't, like, I don't care about things that are petty. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really only invested in things that mean a lot to me, and I like what I like, and I have these little hobbies that I invest my time in, and I don't love hanging out with people that are draining, and I don't like partying. Like, there are things that I just know that I don't like, and I think that part of it might be that they make me feel sick when I do them, just because my body can't handle it. But also I think that just because my emotional threshold is like lower, I just choose not to be bothered by things, and I choose not to invest my time in things that I don't care about. So those are actually good things to come out of this. Like, I'm 100% sure this must have impacted me somehow along the way, even though I don't know specifically how. But like, I like who I am as a person, and so I think it's important to stay comfortable in myself, even though now I know the name of the thing that I've been dealing with all this time. And I think that the only unfortunate thing is that somehow before this experience, I believed that what I was dealing with was, I guess, less of a monster than it really is, because I didn't realize that it would ever get this bad to the level that it's been. And just to give you some perspective, I left from like this date, I left 3.5 weeks ago. No, I left 4 weeks ago. And got on the plane and went to Italy. And then 2 weeks ago, I got home and I had to use a wheelchair to get home from the airport. That was a surreal experience, let me tell you, because I've never been someone before who had to see myself as like disabled. But now I'm aware that I do have a disability, and sometimes it's worse than like it usually is. Like, for the most part, I'm healthy. Like, if you saw me in the grocery store or whatever, like, I'm healthy, and like, I see myself as healthy, but I have a chronic disorder that sometimes rears its head, and then I'm not healthy anymore. And it's really just, it's something that I carry with me. There's nothing that I can do to get rid of it or like keep it from ever flaring. Like, it's called a flare when it's really bad. But like, you know, yeah, like it was 2 weeks ago that I was wheeled out in a wheelchair, and while I was there, I lost like 10 pounds in 2 weeks, and I'm a small person. That was not okay. Like, I don't have weight to lose like that, and no one should be losing that much weight that fast, especially against their will, but like especially on just like my small frame. That was not good. It was really, really bad, and so now I have to like work on gaining weight back and just like taking care of my body again. And it's really just like an uphill battle. And it's made me realize that hopefully, I never want to have to try to do something like that again. Like I really want to keep myself from going into something like that, like a rut like that, because that, well, while I was there, I was by myself. I didn't speak the language. Italy, if you don't know, you don't really drive places, you walk places. So I was walking miles and miles every day and carrying things to and from my apartment, like going up four flights of stairs because we were on the top floor. And just like it would have been an intense experience for anyone, but especially for me, because once my body was like stressed like that, it just started completely freaking out. Like it was just a combination of things. And I had no support because I was in a foreign country by myself with like other 20-year-olds. Like they, I'm gonna be honest here. Like they're children, okay? Like emotionally, I'm an adult, okay? Like there's no other different way to say that. Emotionally, I'm an adult and I was surrounded by children and they could not help me. And I was dealing with a lot of stuff and I was really just by myself. And that was really, really difficult for me. So when I got home, like this whole time, I've just been working to recover. And like 3 days ago, I couldn't move. So like I just want you guys to know that like 3 days ago, I was literally just like sitting on the couch all day. And then yesterday, I went for a walk with my dog. Today, I went for a walk with my dog. So this is really like the baseline, I think, of my normal. And hopefully I'll just continue to get better from here, just in terms of like normalcy. And one of the signs for me that I'm getting better is that my pain is moving from all over my body, feeling like I have the flu all the time, to my legs. And that's where my pain normally is. So I have pain in my legs again now. And for me, that's a good sign. Like for me, that's like, oh my gosh, okay, good. Like this is manageable. This is something I'm used to. And it's something I understand. Like I know how to deal with my leg pain and I know how to like manage it, I guess. And I can't deal with the full body pain. I really can't. So all of this has been just like a really long rant so far, but like I just wanted to like get it out there and like, really go over it because this is helpful for me too to process it and like talk through it. Because even though I'm someone that doesn't like to, so here's the thing. I'm not someone that likes to complain about my problems because I look at everyone around me and like everyone is going through something. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, like everyone has something in their life that's really hard to deal with. And so I hate being the complainer that's like, oh my God, like my life is so difficult. Everything I deal with is so hard. Like, I hate people like that because every single person you're complaining to, they have their own stuff going on. Like, if you're not in a good time or place to discuss the things that you're talking about, then it's inappropriate and you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you don't know if the person across from you is like on their last leg. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes. Like while I was there, I was having a really hard time. Like I just told you guys exactly how hard of a time I was having. And like this person, they just like came up to me and they just started complaining about like the dumbest shit. Like you would not believe. And I was literally sitting there thinking about how like I was like, am I gonna have to go to the ER? Like, is that how bad this is? And then they came up to me and just started complaining about the stupidest stuff. And I was just like, it was surreal. Like, I was like, how do you not see the fact that I'm in agony right now? And you just like came up to me and started complaining about like your emotional drama. Like, I don't care at all. Look at me. Like, look me in the eyes. Like, I'm dead right now. I don't care at all about what you're talking about. And that was a weird experience too. But like, I that's why I don't like complaining about stuff. But it's important for me to process it, because I'm very positive and sometimes that manifests in really good ways, which is most of the time, and then sometimes a smaller portion of the time it manifests in not so good ways, where something like this, excuse me, something like this will happen to me. And I'll be like, well, it's not that bad. It could be worse. And I try to like downplay my own experience instead of giving it that room to breathe and like giving myself room to grieve. Because essentially, I'm doing a little bit of grieving right now and just grieving the health that I thought I had and realizing that unfortunately I have something to deal with forever that does not have a treatment and it will be there the rest of my life. But I have to, you know, I have to learn to deal with it. And so if you can't hear in my voice, you know, it's something that I'm having to grieve right now. And I didn't think I'd be crying on the podcast ever. Welcome. But you know, it's something that I didn't anticipate having to deal with. I knew that I had chronic, you know, leg pain, and I didn't think that they would ever be able to fix that. I already thought it might be a nerve issue, like maybe a nerve was pinched in my back or something, you know, that I didn't think that they'd be able to fix it. I really didn't. But this is far more widespread than what I thought it was. And it is difficult for me to emotionally deal with, I think more than physically, because I understand how to physically deal with it. I live my life. I'm a very healthy person and I am very happy with my life and like who I am and everything. It's more so that this is just a roadblock that I didn't anticipate having to run into. And it's something that, you know, will change my plans for like college and like my living situation and stuff in the future and like which jobs I can and can't do. Like I realized that when I was, I think I was 17, when I got my first job in retail. I worked seasonally, at a chocolate store, and I was really excited about doing that because obviously who wouldn't want to work with like chocolate, you know what I mean? But the job was extremely stressful and I was in a lot of pain and I felt really sick for all of that time, and I knew that I couldn't do the job anymore, but I didn't know how to iterate to people that it was making me feel sick. And because I didn't understand why, like I thought I was maybe fighting something off or like, you know, maybe I was just really tired. Like I didn't understand. I just knew that having the job made me not feel good. And I knew that that was what it was because nothing else in my life had changed. So, you know, obviously it was seasonal. So like when my contract expired, I just like let it expire and I didn't want to go back to work there. And, you know, people were like, hey, like, you know, you should really get like another job. You know, it's not that bad. It wasn't that bad. I don't know why you're saying that that job was so bad. And like, just like now looking back, it's so obvious. It was just because retail is a very stressful job for anyone. But especially for me, when that stress turns into literal physical pain, like it's even harder to deal with stuff like that when your whole body is just screaming at you. And there's nothing you can do to alleviate that. So it's things like that, see, that I'm like processing right now and looking back and being like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense that like I felt like that about this or that this happens. And like I'm realizing now like that there are a lot of things that I go through that aren't normal. And there is this feeling of like, you know, this isn't fair, like, why me? But at the same time, I saw this, like, post. Literally, it was, like, a screenshot of a Tumblr post. And I saw this years ago now. It's probably been, like, 3 years that I saw this. And it changed my life. Like, the post, it was like, you know, everyone always asks, why me? Why me? And they never ask, why not me? And I saw that and it was just like, it changed my outlook on life. Like people are always like, oh my gosh, why me? Why am I the one that has to go through this? Like, why right now? How could this happen to me? And people don't ask like, why not me? And I look at myself And I'm like, yeah, why not me? Why am I more deserving of health than other people, like than someone random? Like, I don't deserve anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not better than other people. Like, everyone deserves to be happy and healthy. And like, we all have struggles that we deal with. And so in the grand scheme of things, it's just, it's, you see what I'm getting at here? Like, it's just, it helps me to deal with things a little bit, because it's like, I'm not better than anyone else. And like, this is the burden that I carry specifically. And we all have different problems that we deal with. We all have emotional issues. People have mental health problems. Like, everyone has something. We all really, really do. And my issue that I deal with is that I have this physical ailment, and it's never going away. And it gets worse sometimes when I don't take care of myself. And sometimes even when I do, like, I'll just wake up, and sometimes the whole day I won't really wake up. And it's like, I'm just sleepwalking through the day. And I know immediately when I wake up that it's going to be one of those days, and I just kind of deal with it. And that's really all I can do. So, yes, there are like disability things for fibromyalgia and stuff like that. But like, the trouble of getting it is really just not worth it for me, because I can push through the vast majority of most things. And in the future, I just won't get jobs and stuff that like mess with me like that. You know what I mean? So like, I don't need the accommodations and stuff that are offered. Like, I just, honestly, what I would love is to be healthy, but you know, that's not happening. So at this point, it's like, I'm just gonna have to deal with it, you know? And that's fine. Like, I'll get there. I'm a very strong person, and I have a lot going for me. I have people around me that support me and love me, and I have fun hobbies like this podcast, and they really keep me going. Like, I love investing passion and time into things like that. That literally keeps me physically healthy. That helps me so much, because this is like an outlet for me that really like brings me back to life and gets me excited about something, and it's something I can focus on. And things like this, they're things that I focus on, and I'm not thinking about like how tired I am or how, you know, my legs hurt. Like, it's something else to put effort into. And then it makes other things fade into more of like background noise. And it just makes it easier to deal with life. And that is something that I think that a lot of people would benefit from, like finding hobbies and stuff like that. Like, it's really important for your mental health. And for me, my mental health translates directly into the physical. So it's doubly important for me. But like, everyone really should find hobbies and stuff that they love, and like invest time in doing things that they care about and stuff like that. So maybe you should try like embroidery. It's really fun. Embroidery is really good. I want to find a horse rescue to volunteer at, because I wanted to do that for like 2 years, and I just have not been able to find one that I like that's close to my house. So I will try to search for one again. And I'm also planning on working this semester, since apparently I'm not in school anymore. So I might as well do some work and like, you know, make some money, get into things, keep my life going. And obviously, since I'm missing a semester and what was supposed to be like the coolest trip of my life, this unfortunately like disorder has changed the course of my life. Not drastically overall, but in terms of just, I guess, this chapter of my life, there's been quite a drastic change. And there was a lot that I would have really liked to do. But, you know, there's a reason for everything. And now that there is a war between Russia and Ukraine, I'm actually glad that I'm not in Europe right now, close to that, because obviously we don't know where that conflict is going and tensions are high. And I'm actually really glad that I'm at home and I'm not over there close to all of that. So if you are someone who's close to that, like, my heart really goes out to you, especially since I was just there. Like, I can only imagine how scary that must be and how stressful that is. Like, and I don't think, I actually looked the other day, I don't think I have any listeners in Ukraine or Russia, that, like, at least not enough to show up on my analytics, right? But, like, if you are someone who's there and, like, you're listening to this right now, like, my heart really goes out to you, and, like, I'm sorry that you have to deal with that, because it's insane, like, for people on both sides. Like, every single thing that I've seen online from someone who's in Russia, like, I've seen all the protests and stuff, like, the Russian people do not want to be at war with Ukraine right now. Like, and obviously I'm not speaking for every single person in Russia, but, like, I'm saying that everything that I have seen personally, anecdotally, is that people are just like, why is this happening? Like, we don't want to go to war. We're dealing with our own stuff, you know? So our thoughts and prayers are with you, but, like, you know, you're seen. It's not like people don't know what's going on. Everyone knows what's going on, and it's really just insane. And if I could do something, I would, but I really just don't. I don't think I can do anything. So, Putin, if you are a listener of the Dream On podcast, this is me officially asking you to literally just stop. Like, bro, you need to stop. So, and anyone can quote me. That can be a direct quote for sure. Like, bro, Putin, please just stop. Stop what you're doing. Hopefully he's listening and he stops. We'll find out. We'll find out when this episode comes out. So anyway, that was, like, a lot to talk about. And it was a lot of, like, heavy stuff. And, like, I talk about serious things on this podcast, but for the most part, there's also a lot of really, like, dumb stuff. In terms of dreams, recently I've been having a lot of nightmares. And part of that, I was talking about that in the previous episode as well that I recorded. And it's not released, but I will release it. The Lucid Dreams and Virtual Realities episode. That episode, I think I talked about this, but, like, I took this thing. I don't remember what it was called, but it made me get my period, since I don't. And that stuff gave me really bad nightmares. Like, it was not good. But also, I don't want cancer, so I will continue to take it. But, like, I was already having nightmares from that, and then my whole trip was just so stressful and, like, so devastating for me that I've been having nightmares since then from that. Like, I keep having dreams that I'm, like, stranded in Italy and I can't leave, and I'm having dreams where, like, I am having to deal with, like, conflicts with people, and, like, dreams where people are fighting with me, not physically, just, like, verbally. And it is not good, guys. Like, that has made it harder as well to record for the podcast. So, like, I'm exhausted, first of all, physically and emotionally. And then also, my dreams are not good. Like, I don't think you want to hear about them. Although I had this one 3 nights ago. Oh my gosh, guys, the love interest. Oh, he was so beautiful. He was so beautiful. I love him. I wish that the dream would have been longer. Like, he lived on the roof of this building, like the roof of a hotel with, like, 6 other dudes. And it was, like, it was my sister and I's old room, but in the dream it was their room, and they lived on top of a hotel, and they were all in there together, and they were, like, bird people. And it was, like, there was the guy that I'm talking about. And I don't know, I feel like he was, like, ethnically, like, ambiguous. Like, I don't know what his ethnicity was, but he had, like,
pretty dark skin, and he obviously had like some heckin' directions, never eat. Some like East Asian heritage for sure. But oh my gosh, she was so beautiful. And then there's another guy, and he was blonde and he had like curly hair, which was like so cute. And the only thing with him though was that I saw him and I was like, oh my gosh, he's really attractive. And then I was like, would people think that we're related? Because I as well have blonde hair. And I was like, like I'm always very conscious of the siblings or dating phenomenon. So I was like, you know, I should go for the other guy because I don't want people to think that me and him are related. So I picked the other guy, which is fine, which is good as well. but yeah, that was a good dream. They were living on top of the hotel in their like weird room up there. And then I don't even remember like the plot of the dream, but like I kept seeing him just like around. I think I was like, I kept getting lost in the stupid hotel because it was so big, but you know, it was a weird dream. I don't think that the plot was that stable. But you know, it was still good. And that's like the only dream that I've had that has not been a nightmare in like the last 4 weeks. So there was one bright spot. Shout out to that guy. And in the dream, he gave me his phone number. But then, of course, when I woke up, I couldn't remember it. I just remembered that there were like two double zeros in it. I was like, that's such a weird number. Like, why does he have so many zeros in his phone number? And I also think that his name was like, ooh, something. Like, I keep thinking it was like Otis, but it's not Otis. I'm 100% sure. But it sounded like that. Like, it was like, ooh, something, I think. So, I don't know. But that's relevant too. So, I decided to end the episode on a happy note. Shout out to Otis or whatever his name was. You were beautiful. We would have been good together. Like, you know, sorry, I can't text you. I don't have your phone number. But, I lost it, I guess. Misplaced the sticky note. but anyway, if you, I mean, I don't know. Like, I can talk to you about fibromyalgia if you have questions. You can ask me on like Anchor or Instagram. Obviously, I have a lot of experience with it since I've had it since I was a child. So I've had it for decades at this point, which is super cute. But yeah, I mean, there's not that much to learn. It's possibly an autoimmune disorder. The only reason they haven't called it an autoimmune disorder is because they can't find in the blood work the, oh my gosh. See, this is one of the things that I don't know. I don't know the word right now, and it's because I'm so foggy at this moment. It's when you have like an infection. There's like, they can see it in the blood work that your body is like fighting something. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like that. And they can see that for autoimmune disorders, and they cannot see that for fibro. However, here's the tea. My mom has an autoimmune disorder, and they can't see it in her blood work. And they're 100% sure she has it because it's one that like physically manifests, so they can see that she has it, but it's not in the blood work. So all I'm saying is that's a stupid way to say that like that's then it's not an autoimmune disorder because literally the proof is downstairs in my living room. So that's BS and it could be an autoimmune disorder or it could also be a nervous system disorder, which is also very possible and I could totally see nervous system because it's widespread pain and that's just like the whole connection to the brain. Maybe it could even be both. Who knows at this point? Like, who really knows? But yeah, that's where we're at. And this has been a really long episode, but I hope that you've learned something. I hope you had a good time listening to me crying. It's been awesome. Now, here's the dealio. I will catch you all up here at the end of the episode on my thoughts on the season three of the Dream On podcast, because of course we're going to continue on. We weren't stopping after two seasons. There's no way. So I am working right now on cover art for season 3. I'm going to do kind of like a rebrand. It's going to be very cool. And I'm consulting my patrons for that. So they're helping me choose the art and like the style and everything. And it's going to look really good. And so I'm working on that with them. And season 3 will come out probably very shortly, within like the next 2 months. And I will not be taking a break between this season and the next season because my health has already forced me to take a break. So I just had to take a break, and I think it's better for me to dive into things that I care about to recover instead of just like sitting there doing nothing, because then I'll get depressed and that's bad. So I'm going to jump right into season 3 with the new art, and it's going to look so good. And I have had multiple other dream podcasts reach out to me recently and be like, hey, we love what you do. We want to collaborate with you and we want to do an episode with you. And I'm like, dang, okay. Like, yeah, I'll do an episode with you. So I'm researching these other podcasts right now and like figuring out what they're all about, what I'm all about, to see if we mesh well. And even if we mesh well, I always appreciate it when other like creators like that like what I do, because it's just like, it's so cool, you know, like they have a podcast, I have a podcast, they listen to my podcast, like it's very cool. So if you're one of those creators who reached out, even if we don't end up collaborating with each other, like, thank you. That is such a huge compliment from someone else that makes something. And yeah, I think that I need to end the episode because I think I'll just keep talking, and I don't need to keep talking. It's okay. I've talked a lot. And I actually have a therapy appointment later today, so I'll be talking again later. And that'll be good. I think that this was good too. This was like pre-therapy, you know? Like, I've really done some processing. And now I'll go to therapy and be like, hey, here's all the things I talked about earlier to myself alone in my room. nice. To, you know, I mean, how many people really listen to these? We're guaranteed at this point. Here's the tea, guys. We're guaranteed at this point to get like hundreds of listens on an episode. Like 600 is like a guarantee for an episode. On the high end, we get over 1,000 on each episode for listens. So who knows how many people will hear this? And you might not be listening alone. If you're with other people and you're all listening, then like, shout out to the crowd. But, you know, then even more people listen. So also, I keep saying also, the podcast has gotten like over 60,000 listens total across all platforms, which is amazing. Like, so total 60,000 listens. That is so huge. When there's 100,000 listens, I'll throw a party or something. Like, we'll all throw a party and I'll do like an Instagram live or something. And like, I don't know, like drink apple cider or something. Maybe I'll be 21 by that point so I can do like a champagne toast. Who knows? But thank you all so, so much for listening. I know that this is not like a super fun episode to listen to. It's just like, it's kind of a downer episode, but like, you know, life is hard sometimes, and we live through the high times, we live through the low times, and we're all just trying to get through it, you know? We're all just trying to get through life, we're all dealing with our own stuff all together, and you're never alone. You aren't. Like, the person next to you in the grocery store, they're dealing with their own stuff. The cashier, dealing with their own stuff. The person who is at Target, who is in the dollar section looking at every single thing, they're dealing with something. And that's me. I'm the one looking at every single thing in the Target dollar section. It's me. So thank you guys so much for listening. You're never alone. Get the help you need. Go to therapy and dream on.